This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. A quirky art exhibit called Steampunk Form and Function recently opened at the Charles River Museum of Industry and Innovation in Waltham. If you're wondering what the heck is steampunk, you're probably not alone. WBUR's Andrea Shea has more.
Steampunk is actually pretty hard to define.
Even for Bruce Rosenbaum, sponsor of this new exhibition, he's clearly obsessed with steampunk.
It means a lot of different things to different people. It has come out in movies, in fashion, in literature, in gaming, and in design. I like to think about steampunk as a reimagination if the Victorian period or the industrial period happened at the same time as the computer or information age.
Steampunk's been percolating as an aesthetic movement since the 80s, with goths and sci-fi fans, for instance, but it's still pretty fringe. If you don't know what it is, you're definitely not alone. To get your gears turning, though, you could think of Jules Verne and the Nautilus in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Or H.G. Wells' Time Machine.
13 years have passed. 14. 15.
Even Willy 16. Wonka could inspire steampunk. It's brass, corsets, cogs, aviator goggles, monocles, bubbling liquids, pocket watches, pipe organs, gauges, and valves. Fused with iPods, thumb drives, and today's high-tech gadgetry. An iconic steampunk image is a modern computer keyboard that has old-school typewriter keys, and it works. This gallery is filled with artist-made contraptions that could have been invented in an imaginary retro future.
So this is the steampunk cotton spinning wheel generator.
It's an ornate exercycle thing connected to an antique spinning wheel. Pedal power feeds a small generator that fires up a lantern. Next, museum director and curator Ellen Hegney shows me the steampunk telegraph guitar.
Literally, as you're playing, you can also do a little Morse code if you want to. So I think it would be dot, 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 slash, 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 dot, dot, dot for SOS, which is what I need when I play guitar.
Then she drops a few coins in the steampunk pinball machine. Play it and you can create life itself.
You hear the buzz of electricity, the drip of amino acids.
The objects are tongue-in-cheek, fantastical, weird, and a lot of fun. More seriously, though, Hegney is psyched about the steampunk show because it's attracting a different, more alternative crowd to the museum, a museum that's dedicated to industrial-era history and machinery. Todd Douglas Cahill feels the same way.
Whoop!
Cahill's an actual steam artist. One of his steam-powered kinetic sculptures is in the show, but he doesn't see himself as a steam punk. He's been hanging out with serious steam machine and engine fanatics for 20 years, and it's been interesting for him to watch the rise of steampunk from the sidelines. He says it's keeping our industrial past alive and making it hip.
A lot of that generation that lived with this stuff is now very much gone.
Cahill has his own ideas about why we modern people connect with the older technologies on a visceral, even emotional level.
It's the noise of it, it's the feeling, it's the touch, it's certainly the sight of it. It's all these things kind of that blend together. It's not a mystery. A lot of the technology today, unless you know about it, it's hidden. It's behind the screen, it's in a box, it's under the hood.
A lot of us kind of feel stupid with technology in terms of how it actually works.
Again, show sponsor Bruce Rosenbaum.
With steampunk, I think people are harking back to that time where we could understand the world better and really understand ourselves better.
At the same time, though, maybe it doesn't matter what the steampunk pinball machine actually tells us about ourselves, because, frankly, it's just really cool. I bet Captain Nemo would agree. For WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.
To see inside a steampunk artist's workshop and for images of steampunk artifacts, head to our website, wbur.org/Boston. And if you really want to get serious, there's a steampunk meetup at the Charles River Museum of Industry and Innovation in Waltham this Saturday afternoon. One final note before we go. Yesterday on our show, we talked with Jennifer Che. She lives in Cambridge, and she blogs about her culinary adventures at tinyurbankitchen.com. She was a finalist in a worldwide competition organized by foodbuzz.com to find, quote, the next food blog star. For the last round in the competition, Jennifer carved the Boston skyline out of fruits and vegetables.
The Prue is made out of green beans.
Like 100 green beans.
The Prue kind of has these segments, and I basically use the green beans to mimic the segments. And near the top, you know, there's a green bean sticking out because the Prue kind of has this something. I don't even know what it is sticking out
that
the top.
That weird antenna thing.
Yeah. So it kind of looks like it from afar, I think.
Well, all the votes are in, and from a pool of almost 2,000 contestants, Jennifer has been crowned the winner. And on top of all that fame and glory, Jennifer gets $10,000 in cash. And for those of you who listened to our show yesterday, you'll understand what I mean when I say that's a lot of rosemary truffle fries at Garden on the Cellar. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. And our show is also made possible by contributions from our listeners. That means you. Today is the last day of WBUR's end-of-year fundraiser, so please, if you haven't already, make a contribution this afternoon to keep shows like Radio Boston and other local programming at WBUR strong. Here's how you can do that.